Nice to catch up with JT Snow, the former Major League Baseball first baseman. 14 years with the Angels, most of those, though, with the Giants, 9 seasons, and then also a stop in the American League with the Red Sox as well. And one of the finest fielding first basemen. You know, I was looking at your statistics as a fielding first baseman. Tell me a little bit about your philosophy on playing defense.
Well, I was very lucky to come into the game at a time when I think the position over there at first had kind of evolved into a more athletic guy, not necessarily the big fat guy that you're trying to hide over at first base anymore. When I was in college and even in high school, I looked up to guys like Will Clark and Mark Grace and Wally Joyner with the Angels, Don Mattingly with the Yankees, and just figured if I could hit a little bit and drive in some runs and really work on the defense, that I could be a valuable member of the team and make a career out of it. And I give a lot of credit to my father, who worked with me real hard, and I think I was blessed with some decent hands that might run in the family. And I worked really hard at it. I worked hard at taking ground balls, and I think that a good first baseman over there, we see a lot of them in the game nowadays. You know, you can steal an out here and there. You can take away a run. And you talk to a lot of managers now that I'm on the other side of the game and doing some work in the Giants organization and as a coach. Managers, they like guys over there first base that can catch the ball.
JT, one of the things I've always heard from players that played good defense, no matter what the sport might be, and I'm going to use basketball primarily, is that they always tell me it's more of an attitude, because the defensive stats don't show up on SportsCenter or they're not the stats that jump out at you. Is it a lot of attitude to be able to play it successfully?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're exactly right. You've got to want to do it. You've got to want to put in the time. The offensive stuff in every sport are going to get the highlights, but you talk to managers, coaches, front office people, they're trying to build a winning team. It's amazing how big defense is. You look at NFL teams in the past that have won Super Bowls on defense. You look at NBA teams that play good defense, and even in baseball, you look at teams that make the playoffs, the World Series. Those teams are always in the top of the major leagues and defensive categories, along with pitching. And pitching is part of the defensive side of the game, so it's big. And you're right; everybody wants the glory of hitting the ball over the fence or driving in the runs, but I tell you what, you make a lot of friends on your team, especially with the pitchers, when you can play that defense and take away extra runs. So a big part of the game that is really overlooked in all sports.
You know, that's where I was going next, the psychological aspect of having somebody at first base that is going to clean up balls in the dirt and making the pitcher feel comfortable about throwing a pitch that's going to get hammered into the ground and somebody's going to throw it over to first base and getting the out there. Psychologically, what does that do for a team, knowing that not only at first base but maybe at the other side over on third base that you've got guys that are going to shut things down?
Yeah, I think the feedback I had from guys, especially middle infielders and even guys over there at third making throw, it allows them to relax, and it allows them. And I used to tell my infielders, you know, you don't have to make a perfect throw. Just get it somewhere close. It's my job over here. This is what I do. I'll stretch. I'll pick it out of the dirt. But just get it close somewhere in the vicinity and let me have a decent throw to handle. And it really does take a lot of pressure. And I got that feedback from infielders I played with, you know, from high school to college, minor leagues, all the way to the big leagues. And it allows them to relax, know they don't have to make a perfect play and come up and make a perfect throw. And like I said, you save those guys some errors. You make a lot of friends. You get a few free dinners out of it at the end of the year. And it picks up the whole team. It really does. And there's a lot of guys playing great defense around the big leagues today.
I know that the media and the fans probably take a look at the offensive stats. That's what impresses them. But you were a 6-time Gold Glove winner, one of only 6 players in baseball history to win multiple Gold Gloves in both the American League and National League. I use that as a preference to the comment that Joe Morgan once said to me. He said, aside from winning World Series championships, the thing I appreciate in my career was winning the Gold Gloves. A lot of people might not look at it that way, but from a baseball player's perspective, why does that mean so much to them?
Well, I think it's, you know, there's just one guy in each league at each position that's picked. So, in essence, you're one of the two best in the world at a position. I think the cool thing is you hear a lot from players is the trophy is just really cool. I mean, it's a big trophy with an actual glove painted in gold with two gold balls on the side and your face and the team you play for in the front. It's a great looking trophy, and it just means a lot to guys that take a lot of pride in their defense. And I remember talking to, I think it was Don Mattingly, when I was with the Yankees coming up in spring training one year, and he always told me, he said, the hardest one to win is the first one, because a guy will win a few, and then he can keep going as long as he keeps in the lineup. And the one thing you have to do, though, is you have to have some offensive numbers to go with it, or else you don't get recognized, and you have to have your manager and the media basically in your hometown continually saying that you deserve a gold glove. But everybody you talk to that wins it is very proud of it. And it, you know, there's only one in your league and one in the other. So basically there's just two in the whole, baseball that win this award. And guys take a lot of pride in it.
You broke in with the Yankees and then of course 4 years with the Angels, but most of the time in San Francisco and then a half season with the Red Sox. But when you broke in with the Yankees, was there an awe factor for you? I mean, it's one thing to break in with any major league baseball team, but the Yankees are the Yankees.
There was definitely that factor, and I remember in college playing and getting letters or interviews from different teams and organizations before the draft, and I never saw a Yankee scout or talked to a Yankee person, and then I get a phone call saying you were drafted in the fifth round by the Yankees, and hung up the phone, and I remember my dad being awful happy and proud. You know, you could be drafted by any team, but to be drafted by the Yankees and start your career, the Yankees are a special organization, and I came up through the minor leagues from rookie ball, single, double A, triple A, got a September call-up that year, and definitely in awe. First time to Yankee Stadium, sitting on the bench during a game and watching these guys play, and just nervous as can be in Yankee Stadium. And it goes back to the spring training that year, 1992. I was on the 40-man roster, went to spring, and to see the guys that come through the clubhouse and, you know, Reggie Jackson's coming through there, and Whitey Ford, and all these guys, Mantle, and just all these guys that were coming through. It really is, you're in awe, and you just kind of sit in front of your locker and keep your mouth shut and be seen and not heard. And they treat you great. They treat you special. I remember my first spring training as an A-ball. The director of the minor league stood up and said, "We're the Yankees. We have more money than anyone. We have more baseballs, and we have more fields and more coaches and more pitching machines and batting cages, and that's why we win." And they were right. We stayed in a little bit better hotels than minor leagues. We traveled good. Great organization to come up with.
9 seasons with the San Francisco Giants, and there seemed to be a love affair between J.T. Snow and the Giants and the city of San Francisco. Can you put into words what that love affair was?
Well, I think San Francisco is, to me, is an East Coast city with East Coast fans on the West Coast, and I think it's because the Giants came over from New York. I grew up in Southern California, where we had the Angels and the Dodgers, the Rams, the Raiders at the time, the Lakers, the Clippers, and you come up here to the Bay Area, and there's the Giants and the 49ers, and that's it, and these people are rabid about the Giants, and everywhere you go, it's somebody's got a Giants hat or a Giants jacket. There's nothing else. And I was impressed the first year I came over. They're hardworking people. They're great fans. They expect a lot out of their team. They have a little bit of that East Coast mentality, but I think they like guys and they like players that play the game the right way. They play it hard, and they give an effort every night. And there was no more evidence of that than when I played in Candlestick the first 3 years I was here, 97 to 2000, we were in Candlestick Park. And, I mean, you have to be a rabid fan to go sit at that ballpark on a nightly basis and freeze your tail off. So great, great city, great fans. I think it's a little bit of that East Coast mentality that makes them.
You are the son of Jack Snow, the former great Los Angeles Rams wide receiver and broadcaster as well. And I did games that he played in when I was working for CBS Network. And he was a man that really, I guess the best way to describe it, he made it look easy when I know that it wasn't. His passion for the game, I always thought, was the fire that made him so good. Am I correct in that observation, JT?
You are. My dad was very intense, very old school, very black and white, not a lot of gray with him. You knew where you stood, and I think that's what helped get him. He went to the University of Notre Dame, was an All-American there in 1964, and then 11 years with the Rams. And I grew up in a football household, and just, you know, remember my dad putting it on the line every Sunday. And I remember Monday mornings coming in and him being sore and tired and beat up. And it was, I believe I was 8 years old the last year he played. So I remember a little bit of his career. I've since, you know, dug up some highlights and stuff. But I grew up a football guy. Still probably my favorite sport to watch to this day on TV is football. I love Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoons. And I played in high school. But my dad was also a huge baseball fan. He played baseball in high school and had a chance to sign out of high school with a couple teams, but chose to go with football because that was his first love. And there was no bigger fan of baseball when I was playing. I mean, he wouldn't miss a game. He had the satellite TV and was getting all the games. And so he was a tough guy, but he loved sports and loved his football and baseball.
The fact that you went in a baseball direction instead of maybe a football direction, aside from maybe talent being a factor into it, was that by design? Because having a dad that was so successful, I know what it's like if you happen to be Mickey Mantle's son or Yogi Berra's son or any other great player's son, the comparison that's made.
Yeah, it was interesting because I played football, basketball, and baseball in high school, and I was lucky to play at a time when you could play all three sports and the coaches wanted you to play the different. It's a different situation these days, but my first love was actually basketball because I love being outside practicing by myself. But it's funny how the sport you love the most is one you have no chance to go play in the future. And I almost quit baseball my junior year in high school because I thought it was boring and I wasn't having fun. And to me, football and basketball and playing in front of the crowds of Friday nights and the packed gymnasiums were fun. And my dad sat me down one afternoon when I had sprung this on him, and he said, "You do what you want, but if it was up to me," he said, "you have a future in baseball. Take it from somebody that's been there." And I can see, you know, there's not a lot of 6'1" quarterbacks in the NFL or 6'1" point guards in the NBA, but there's a lot of 6'1" baseball players. And so being the good kid that I was, I listened to him and I said, "I'll keep playing baseball." And then when time came, I got recruited by some schools in football, but the University of Arizona came knocking, and it was my only baseball scholarship out of high school was to the University of Arizona, and always wanted to play professionally as a kid, seeing what my dad did, so I took the scholarship for baseball, and I used to thank my dad every time I see him.
Final question for you, JT. When you think back on your baseball career, invariably when I talk to athletes, there's always a memory that's kind of seared into their consciousness that's about something that they did or a game or a moment that they'll never forget. What moment would that be for you?
For me, it was playing in the World Series in 02. We lost to the Angels in 7 games, a great World Series. A lot of people come up to me and remember me saving Darren Baker, Dusty Baker's little son at home plate, pulling him out of harm's way. That's an image that I'll always remember. But on the other hand, I will remember getting a hit in all 7 games in the World Series and hitting over 400 in the series. It's only been done a handful of times that somebody's gotten a hit in all 7 games. So the fans will remember me saving Darren Baker. I remember getting a hit in all 7 games and playing well offensively, but just coming up a game short that year in 2002. It was a great World Series.
Well, I'll tell you what, because of your dad's hands, I could almost see where you were going to make a play like that. JT, I want to thank you very much. I've been looking forward to having you on the program, and I hope since we're both here in San Francisco, sometime we can find a time where you can just come into the studio, we'll sit, talk a little baseball, talk a little football, and kind of reminisce a little bit more about your dad, who I had the honor of, again, calling some of his games when he was with the Rams. Thanks a lot, JT.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and yeah, let's do that, and maybe we'll see you out there at AT&T Park some night.
JT Snow, the former Major League Baseball first baseman, broke in with the Yankees, then 4 seasons with the Angels, 9 with San Francisco, and then a half season with the Red Sox. And as I said, one of the best first basemen who ever to field that position. He led the National League in fielding percentage twice during his fine career. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.